This is July 20th, 1979, and I want to talk to you for a little while this afternoon out of my heart. As you know, I have sustained an injury that has left me wounded in my sword hand, so to speak, and so I can't turn to a lot of scriptures and read them to you because of the lack of use of my hand, but I will be mentioning many scriptures as we go along. And I trust that what I give to you today will prove to be a blessing to you. I want to read to you from a very familiar passage of Scripture, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and beginning at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We have all read this many times, we have heard it spoken on. It has been a source of comfort and help to us in the time of spiritual conflict. But I trust this afternoon that there will be a few thoughts inserted here that will give a little further and clearer understanding of what is involved in this scripture. In the first place, we are told to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It doesn't say fight, it says stand. And we're living in an hour when God's people are standing. It seems there is no motion forward, backwards, nor sideways. We are simply standing. And this is scriptural. There comes a time when there is nothing we can do but stand. And so we are standing. But he tells us how to stand. He said that we might be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery, the travesty of the devil. There was never a time when there's been so much trickery, travesty, seduction, and misunderstanding, and lack of full understanding of what is going on like there is now. The word devil here means the slanderer or the accuser. God's people are being slandered and accused as never before. But he said that we are going to stand against this in the evil day. Then the scripture proceeds and says, for we wrestle not. And the word wrestle means to be tossed to and fro, backwards and forwards. We are literally feeling the impact of the forces that are against us. And sometimes it seems like they will well nigh overwhelm us. But they will not, for the scripture says, we shall stand. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It makes no difference if the battle is coming through flesh and blood, or through people. We still are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Our battle is against spiritual forces, not against people. This is why you cannot fight people. That never brings you into the victory. The battle is against spirit forces and not against people. True it is that many become channels through which these spirit forces attack us. But the real battle is in the unseen. Once in a great while, God opens our eyes and we get a glimpse of the unseen battle, and we see what we're up against. But for the most part, it is against unseen forces. We feel them, though we do not see them. And I doubt that there has ever been a time when we are so conscious of the pressure and the oppression of spirit forces as we are at this present time. Now, you will notice that Paul mentions four classifications. He said we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, four is the number of worldwide coverage, and the battle is going on worldwide today. There is absolutely no way that we can gain the mastery except by the way laid down here in the scriptures. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let us take these and begin to break them down a bit. You take the word principality. It is used a few times in the scriptures, and the way it is used is most interesting. In the first place, the word principality is feminine. That will shock some of you. It did me when I found out that it was feminine. The word powers is also feminine. The word rulers is masculine. But you get down to spiritual wickedness, and that is feminine. So 3/4 of the classes of spiritual forces that we're wrestling against are feminine, and 1 part is masculine. We have always figured that the spirits we wrestled against were masculine spirits, but we're coming into an understanding that we have not had before. Even as God is opening up the truth concerning the daughters of God, at the same time, there are truths being opened up against spiritual forces that are in the feminine. Now, this word principality is also translated as first estate in another place. It talks about the fallen angels, and it says they left their first estate. When they came down in the days before the flood, they left their principality or their first estate in the heavenlies, and they came down and they chose them all that they desired of the daughters of Adam. And they brought forth the giants in the earth in those days. Now, we cannot go into detail on that, but this has been touched on before. And what happened to that principality or that feminine part that they left in the heavenlies? The masculine part came down. They left the feminine part there. Now, as we are coming to the wind-up of this age, we are brought into terrific spiritual conflict with the part that those fallen ones, the Nephilim, left in the days before the flood. And there is there anything that is as hard to contend with as a jealous and angry woman? Is there anything worse to deal with in the spiritual than a feminine spirit that is jealous and angry and out for vengeance? Not long ago, we had an experience here that was rather startling. I had gone to bed one night and had gone to sleep. Now, this has been since I had this accident and was injured. Gary was listening to the TV, and all of a sudden he come dashing into my room. He said, "Mama, turn the light on." I turned the light on, and he began to talk to me. He told me that he had gone down the back hall to go into the bathroom. And when he stepped into the bathroom, there was a tall figure whose head hit the ceiling, which would mean that it was What, probably 7 feet tall. I imagine that our mobile homes have 7-foot ceilings. The head was against the ceiling, and it was a woman. It was dressed in a pale blue gown, and he said the body and the gown were transparent, but the head was not transparent. It startled him. It frightened him. It stepped from that position over into the tub, and it sat down in the tub and pulled its knees up under its chin. Gary turned the light on, presuming that the light would make it disappear, but it didn't. It sat there and it stared at him with the most vicious look on its face. He said that it had long red hair, and I said to him, "What do you mean long?" He said, "Almost to its feet, and it was a bright red hair. The eyes were green, and he said the lips looked as if they had the brightest red lipstick on them imaginable." Well, naturally, the child was unnerved, and he got out of there. He didn't turn off the light. He didn't turn off the lights anywhere. When I got up a little later, the lights were still all on. And I got up, and I went through the trailer, and as I came through the living room to go on out to the back hall and out to the bath area, I said, "In the name of Yahshua, in the name of Yahshua." And there was no spirit there, and there's been no spirit here since. But it certainly did manifest itself and let us know and realize what we were up against. Yes, this feminine part of these Nephilim, or the fallen ones, were left in the heavenlies. And now they are coming in great anger, great jealousy, great vengeance to come against the sons and the daughters of God. Is it any wonder that we are being made to realize that we are fighting not only masculine spirits, but feminine spirits? And they are very vicious in their attacks upon us. In regards to this being a very tall being, I might mention to you that when the Lord sent us to Utah, he spoke to me and he said, "I am sending you to the land of giants, and there I will teach you many things." I do not know whether you realize or not the diggings that have been going on, archaeological diggings, in the state of Utah. And they have uncovered many, many giants. The skeletons are 7 to 9 feet tall, and the hair is still intact, and it is bright red. I'm sure that there must be a connection between that and the spirit that Gary saw. We are up against gigantic spirits. We are up against Amazons. Now that's a word they use for a large, strong, tall woman. We are up against spiritual Amazons. These Nephilim that fell, the word Nephilim means the fallen ones, they left their feminine counterparts in the heavenlies, and they came down, materialized, and married the daughters of Adam. Naturally, their feminine counterparts are viciously jealous and angry because of what took place, and this is what we're coping with now. The word power also is feminine, and it means authority. These feminine spirits are not just some little namby-pamby spirits. They are feminine spirits that are in authority in the heavenlies. Well, if there are feminine spirits that are in authority in the heavenlies, then we are dealing with authorities. Now, let me say this. The word authority, as used here, is not the Greek word dunamis, which means ability. It's the Greek word exousia, which means authority. Now, there's a difference. The policeman can stand at the intersection, raise his hand, and the traffic stops. He does not have the physical ability to go out there and stop the traffic. But he has the authority to raise his hand and the traffic stops. This is the kind of authority that these feminine spirits have. This means that there are different categories of spirits with which we are dealing in these days. And we are not dealing with the little ones, the underlings. We are dealing with the authorities, the powers that are in the heavenlies. And they are strong. I might say in connection with this that the Lord has been speaking to a lady in Maine concerning the Queen of Heaven. Now, we have read over this in the book of Jeremiah, where it said that God had something against Israel because they were baking cakes and offering it unto the Queen of Heaven. They were burning incense unto the Queen of Heaven. We've just read over it and have never thought too much about it. But let me tell you, there are queens in authority in the heavenlies. And we are wrestling against these things. Let me say it again. Not the little underlings, but the authorities, the feminine authorities in the heavenlies. Now, if this be true in the spiritual realm, then it is also true in the natural realm that God is raising up his daughters that have authority and have position. And as they are raised up, and as the sons of God likewise are raised up, they wrestle against these things to cast them down from their exalted position. And then it's woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Then we go to the third category, which is spoken of as the rulers of the darkness of this world, and it means this world system. The rulers of the darkness of this world. This is masculine. Now, if you would turn to the book of Daniel, you will find out that he had some visions that God said were to take place in the latter days. We thought they took place way back there when the Medo and Persian Empire fell and the Babylonian Empire fell and the Grecian Empire fell. No, he was talking about those empires, but he said this was going to happen in the last days. And he tells about the Prince of Persia. Persia is the modern day Iran. The Prince of Media, the Prince of Grecia, these were great world kingdoms back there. And we thought they were all done away with when they fell. Oh no, the princes of the rulers of the darkness of this world system are still in authority, and we have come up against these great rulers. And the fact that the kingdom is due to be established in the earth makes these world rulers fight all the harder to hold their position. They are coming with a vengeance against the people of God, and we're going to thrust them in the spiritual realm from their exalted position that the kingdom of God might be established in the earth. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the great powers in the heavenlies. You say, well, where are the heavenlies anyway? Isn't that way off, way up there somewhere? Your head is in the heavenlies right now. The heavenlies is not way off somewhere. The heavenlies is right here in the atmosphere. He is the prince of the power of the air. And the air doesn't go up only so many thousand feet up. So we're wrestling against it right here And our heads are the highest things in the atmosphere, and our heads are being bombarded daily by these forces all around us. Yes, each kingdom has its own great prince and ruler, a spirit ruler in the heavenlies, and we're wrestling against them. I think it's very interesting that all of our trouble concerning energy and the oil and so forth is coming because of the position that Iran has taken. Old Persia and the prince of Persia that's in the heavenlies is doing everything he can to hold his position. And we're fighting against these things. The fourth classification is spiritual wickedness. Wickedness has to do with the character of the individual. This is feminine. The word wickedness is feminine. We have principalities, which has to do with position. We have powers, which has to do with authority. Then we have spiritual wickedness that has to do with the character of the forces with which we are battling. Spiritual wickedness. Such wickedness in the earth today. The character of these things we're dealing with. And when we're dealing with people in whom they are being manifest, we are not dealing with the people. We are dealing with the spiritual wickedness that is manifesting through them. The admonition of Paul is, wherefore, because of this situation, the situation that is taking place in the evil day. This is the evil day. If there ever was an evil day, this is it. Wherefore, take hold of it, receive it. Please turn the tape over at this point where the rest of them receive it. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. When you've done everything else, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now it is strange that he started with the girdle of truth. Why didn't he start with the helmet of salvation? He didn't. He started with the girdle of truth. And the girdle goes around the loins, which is the seat of the generative powers in the individual. And by the way, the seat of the generative powers in the individual is absolutely halfway between the height of the head and the feet. He starts right in the middle, having your loins girt with truth. There was never a day like today when we need the girdle of truth. Sodom and Gomorrah were given us as an example, and it was unrighteous. It was wicked. But we live in a day when it's far more widespread than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities in the well-watered plains of Jordan. But the thing that is striking the world today in the generative powers is worldwide. I never was so sick of the blatant talking concerning sex as I am now. It is everywhere until a person is satiated with what they hear and what they see. Therefore, because of the thing that has struck the whole world in the evil day, We are told, first of all, to get our loins girded with truth. You say, but I wouldn't do those things. That is beside the point. These evil forces are striking at the seat of the generative powers to drive people into all kinds of extremes, and one extreme is as bad as another. Get on the girdle of truth. Get it right square in the midst of you, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, the word truth is an interesting word in the Greek. It actually means not forgetting. In other words, it is remembering. Knowing is remembering. And there is a lot of truth that we're waiting for God to open up, when in reality, God is waiting to open us up, so that we have full remembrance of all things. Doesn't the scripture say that we have an anointing from him and we know all things? You say, but I don't know all things. You do in the subconscious or the unconscious. It is just your conscious mind that doesn't know it. All knowledge is resident within. And God is opening us up so that we no longer forget the things that have happened in the ages past. Even before the foundation of the world, when the morning stars or the daughters sang together and all of the sons of God shouted for joy. This is the kind of a girdle that we need upon the loins. Now there is a spiritual application, for it speaks about the loins of the mind. But the thought still is the generative power in the mind that can conceive and can gestate and can bring forth. There is a power in the mind. You get on the girdle of truth where you have a clear remembrance of the pure crystalline truth of God as it was before the foundation of the world. This is the only thing that's going to help us. Then he goes from the girdle of truth to the breastplate of righteousness. Still doesn't go to the head. He goes to the breastplate of righteousness, which has to do with all of the respiratory organs. It covers the lungs and the heart and so forth. The whole thing that has to do with breathing and living and putting the life-giving oxygen into the blood that streams through our bodies. You put on the breastplate of righteousness. How many of God's people today are being attacked in the breast or the chest area? People tell us, I can't breathe right. I feel like I'm gasping. Well, I do the same thing. Sometimes I feel like I'm blowing. I just go around and go, I pant. The lungs and the heart and the blood are all affected by the bombardment of these spiritual forces that we are up against in this hour, in this day. There are times when God's people feel like they can't stand it, that they're going to give out because the chest area has been so attacked. There are times when my whole chest area is as sore as if somebody had pounded me with their fist. There are times that the battle is so bad that I turn up with black and blue marks in the chest area. No wonder he said to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why righteousness? To cover the respiratory organs, to cover the breathing. Righteousness is a judicial term It's a term that has to do with a person being set right and nothing can be brought against them. Oh, thank God for this position in Him. We have a judicial right standing with our great Yahweh, our Yahshua, our Savior. And this is our protection against the bombardment that comes against the heart and the lungs and the blood and the oxygen that is taken into our systems. We are in the process of change, physical change. And this equipment, this armor that is given unto us, also has to do with our physical changes. God is changing our breath. He's changing our blood. He's changing our heart. He's changing the diaphragm that has to do with the breathing. He is changing it and making it new, and it's because of the judicial right standing in the sight of our Father. You say, I don't feel like I have that kind of a standing. You have, because your Savior on the cross said, it is finished. And He paid the price for you. And He gave you a standing with the infinite. And that is true regardless of how you feel. The breastplate of righteousness. Then you go from there to the feet. You still don't go to the head. You go to the opposite end. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news of peace. Wherever we stand, and He told us to stand, we are to stand with our feet covered with the preparation of the good news, of peace. You say, that sounds just the opposite of our warfare. Well, God's great equipment is a conundrum to the natural mind. But when we stand in peace, who then can stand against us? Jesus stood in the midst of the storm and He said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And we in these days are going to have to stand in peace and expect the calm of God to be manifest. Then we go from there. He says, and above all, above everything else, you take the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith is taken in the left hand and held in the left hand and can be used over any part of the body as protection. It can be held above the face and the head. It can be held over the chest area. It can be held over the loins or even lowered to protect the legs. The shield of faith in the left hand will quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. What is faith? What is faith? Well, as someone has said long ago, faith presupposes a divine revelation. You just don't say, I'm going to believe, and then not know what you believe. Faith means that we have had a divine revelation, and we believe it. It's like Paul in the storm. He said, sirs, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. When God has clarified Scripture to you and made it real, when He has spoken to your heart, when he has revealed himself to you in any way. That becomes a shield of faith, and I don't care where the enemy strikes, you can hold that shield of faith against that fiery dart. We go then from the left hand, which holds the shield of faith, to the helmet of salvation. Now we go to the head. There have been the loins, the breastplate, the feet, the left hand holding the shield of faith. Then it goes to the head, the helmet of salvation. Oh, what kind of a salvation? A full salvation. The scripture says the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh, this is a salvation that is ready to be revealed. This is something than just a superficial experience where we say, I'm saved. I have God's salvation. We are in the process of being saved. None of us are fully saved yet. We are in the process of being saved. But he said we are to put on our heads the helmet, the protection of salvation. Where is your hope? Your head, your mind cogitates the hope of God, the hope of the coming kingdom, the hope of redemption. This is the salvation that is ready to be revealed. He has dealt with our spirits in salvation. He is dealing with our souls in salvation. Now it is coming to the realm of the body. And now this is the fullness of salvation that is ready to be revealed. Putting on your heads the helmet of salvation. See, what's my head got to do with this salvation? That includes the body. It's got everything to do with it. It says we are transformed. We are metamorphosized. We are changed like a caterpillar to a butterfly. That's metamorphosis. We are changed by the renewing of the mind. There's no transformation, no metamorphosis, no change unless the mind is involved in it. And the helmet covers the whole head. It covers the subconscious mind. It covers the unconscious mind. It covers the conscious mind. It covers the pineal. The pituitary is also here. Oh, it covers so much. The helmet of salvation upon our head, upon our thinking. And the last piece of equipment is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You take the sword in the right hand, and that is the Word of God. You say, that's the Scriptures? It includes the Scriptures. That isn't all. Anything that the Infinite One speaks unto you is his word, his logos. Because it doesn't only mean a spoken word, it also means the thought and the intent that is back of it. It has to do with the thoughts too. Where is the sword carried? The shield is in the left hand, but the sword of the Spirit is in the right hand. Now, do you understand why I said I have been wounded in my sword hand? It's my right hand that was injured. And what happened was purely a spirit battle. There was no reason why I should have fallen at all. I was coming around with a Pyrex bowl to get water for the dogs to drink, and fell on the stepping stones and broke the bowl and cut my hand so badly I ended up in orthopedic surgery trying to put the tendons and the nerves back together again. Wounded in the sword hand. But it has caused me to ponder many things. Are we to the point now in the putting on of the armor of God that we are coming to the last beast, the sword of the Spirit, and how these forces would like to keep us from thrusting that sword at them because they cannot stand against it? Yes. We wrestle, but not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, feminine spirits that were left by the fallen angels, their counterparts. You say, I didn't think there was a male and a female among those spirits. Well, why not? There's a male and a female in the Godhead. If there is a father, there also has to be a mother. And the scripture says the Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. That's the feminine part that was taken out of the masculine, and there is both a father and a mother. Then there must also be male and female among the spirits. What God did in the earth, in the formation of the Adam. Now, the Adam of the first chapter was a creation, but the Adam of the second chapter was a formation. It's a different thing altogether. It's the Adam identifying a certain Adam. Where did God get the pattern of taking out of his side, literally, we say a rib, the King James says a rib. It is not in the original language. It is he took a chamber out of him. And he built up the woman from that chamber. He took the feminine part out of him. And he built up the woman, and he brought the woman unto Adam. Where did the pattern come from? Because it has already taken place in the heavenlies when God took the feminine part out of himself and made the new Jerusalem, which is above. And I'll insert this while I'm at it. And that is that there are 12 gates in the Jerusalem, which is above, and at them there are 12 angels or 12 messengers, and on them are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Before there was ever an Israel in the earth, there was an Israel in the heavens. And some are only natural Israel, born of dust and sand. But there are others that are of the celestial Israel that are as the stars which are in the heavens. And they have come down from their celestial position of Israel through natural Israel. But they don't stop there. They go way out beyond it and enter back into their celestial position of the celestial Israel. Oh, the mysteries that are in the Word. All right, we wrestle against the feminine in this evil day. The principalities, the powers, this one is position. The powers, that's the authority. And the spiritual wickedness, that is the character of them. And this is what we are up against, the viciousness of feminine spirits. Therefore, you get the whole armor of God on. And plus that, it's the world rulers of the darkness that we're contending with. The prince of Persia, the prince of Media, the prince of Grecia, just name it. We're dealing with these rulers that have the rule over these nations that are in the earth. But having done all to stand, stand therefore. Just stand, because now